Introduce Jonathan Moore. This case has been blessed with lawyers who are not only technically wonderful and competent, but are also wonderful activists and in solidarity 100% with the struggling people of Vietnam and many other struggling peoples around the world and in the U.S. Jonathan has been a people's lawyer for a long time in New York and many other places. He's represented many of us, some of you in this room, as well as clients around the world in the struggle for peace and justice. And he's been, right now, he's in the middle of drafting another brief on this very case, another letter brief to respond to the government and the chemical companies. So we're very happy that he's been able to take the time to come here and share the report with us. So Jonathan Moore.
Thank you so much. I appreciate 1199 making the space available for a discussion of these important issues. I also want to thank Dr. Fifi for making the trip from Vietnam to be with us for the arguments on the motions to dismiss in court on Monday. As you know, Dr. Fifi is not only a member of the Vietnam Association for Victims of Agent Orange, a leading member. She's also a victim of Agent Orange, having had several miscarriages after her exposure to Agent Orange. And she is, to me and to many of us working on this case, a true inspiration and a reason why we fight so hard on these issues. So I really appreciate you having come and being present with us in court and today. Thank you so much. I could talk more than 10 minutes about this case, but unfortunately we only have 10 minutes, and that's probably good for you as well. There are very, very many issues that this case raises. It is an extremely important and historic case filed back in February of 2004 by victims of Agent Orange, exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam. And they simply asked for a very simple thing, an opportunity to demonstrate in a court of law that the government's use and the defendant chemical company's supplying of the chemical for the government's use of a poison during the Vietnam War, for 10 years during the Vietnam War, violated well-established laws, international law norms, of customary international law. It has long been accepted in international law that you cannot use poison as a weapon of war. You cannot use poison weapons as a weapon of war. Our case is based on that very simple premise that the government's use of poison, and to which the chemical companies actively cooperated in supplying those poisons, violated those well-established international law norms, which we can sue under, which we can sue in the United States for remedies under the Alien Tort Statute. The very basic premise here has a simple truth to it, which is unescapable, that when a company, a corporation, a defendant, a government violate the laws of the international law, they should be held accountable. This is no different than what the veterans asked, U.S. veterans asked back in the late 70s and early 80s when they filed a case claiming that they were injured as a result of their exposure to Agent Orange, and they in fact were, and they were terribly injured. And there are veterans still fighting today to seek compensation, and rightfully so, for the injuries, many of which didn't appear until after the settlement back in 1984. And we stand hand in hand with those U.S. veterans in the fight to seek justice. You have to understand what happened in this distant land far, far away many years ago that many of us have forgotten about. The U.S. government dropped, it has been estimated, almost 80 million liters of what they refer to euphemistically as a herbicide. on 5.5 million acres of Vietnam. It's been estimated that the total amount of land contaminated by Agent Orange was 12% of the entire country. Now imagine what would have happened in this country had Vietnam decided to come here in the course of that and drop 80 million liters of Agent Orange, let's say on the state of Hawaii. Imagine the outrage in this country to that. Imagine the uproar that would occur. We did this in Vietnam, and it was a crime then, and it's a crime now. A crime against humanity, a war crime. And no matter how long it takes, no matter how many years pass, it is important that there be those who are victimized by it, and there are truly real victims of this horrendous poison, that they be compensated, and that those who did it be held accountable. Now, in court on Monday, the court heard arguments by the chemical companies seeking to, basically telling the court, they really don't have a claim here, you should dismiss these cases. And and by the way, there's really no connection between Agent Orange, exposure to Agent Orange dioxin, and any real injury other than maybe some rash on your skin. And we stood up and argued quite forcefully. The argument went on for 8.5 hours in front of this federal judge in Brooklyn, Jack Weinstein, who had the original Agent Orange cases involving the veterans. And we stood up and argued quite forcefully that the conduct of these defendants was wrong, and we should have our day in court. The government basically has said, the defendants have basically said two things. Well, this doesn't really, our conduct didn't really violate international law. Well, we think they're wrong on that. We think they're dead wrong on that. It's clear if you look back at all the treaties, the conventions, the customs that have evolved over the years, it's kind of interesting that there are ways of waging war that people have recognized over the years. There are good ways of waging war and bad ways. Kind of ironic, I guess, but nevertheless, long-held established customs that say you can't use poison, you can't poison people's well, you can't poison their water, you can't use poison weapons. And this is exactly what Agent Orange was. If you go back and you look at the documents, the contemporaneous documents from the chemical companies, from the government, they say, we want a product that we can use to wage war. This is a weapon, this is a modern weapon. The idea was to basically eliminate the habitat, the forest, the ground cover, so that I suppose no one could hide. It was a weapon of war, and so there's really no doubt about that. The government, the argument. So we think we have we think we'll win on that argument. We hope we win. It's an uphill struggle, but we definitely will pursue it as long and as hard as we can. There's another very insidious argument that was made in court on Monday, which is something that should scare us all today. And in this regard, it was an argument made not only by the defendant chemical companies, but by the United States government that appeared through the Justice Department in the case, even though they're not being sued in this case, unfortunately, because of their sovereign immunity, because they haven't waived their immunity to suit for this. But nevertheless, they appeared as a friend of the court, so to speak, as an interested party, and made a similar position, asserted a similar position to that which was asserted by the chemical companies, that this program, chemical warfare program, because it was authorized by President Kennedy back in 1961, that therefore nobody can be sued for it because the president has the power to abrogate, to not follow international law. Now, where have we heard that before? Most recently. That's exactly what the government is arguing in, with respect to the detainees in Guantanamo. That's exactly what the government argued with respect to U.S. citizens who have been detained in the course of this so-called war on terrorism. That's exactly what the government has argued with respect to the whole fundamental basis of the war, that we don't have to violate, that we don't have to follow international law if the president decides not to. That's a very insidious position. Even the judge in court said, well, that's kind of outrageous. And so we think we'll have the better of that argument as well. Now, it's an uphill struggle, but it's important that people understand that it's not just a legal struggle, that it's a political struggle. I've been a lawyer for 27 years, involved in a lot of civil rights cases raising very important issues with respect to the right of the government vis-a-vis citizens, and they're always hard cases. This is an extremely hard case because we're up against very well-funded chemical companies. They must have had 40 lawyers in court on Monday. For the argument itself, they hired two appellate advocates from Washington, D.C. to come in and argue the case for them. They understand, as does the government, the importance of this case. That's why they're fighting so hard to prevent us from having our day in court. So it's important that we, on a political level, as well as a legal level, talk about this issue, support campaigns like the one that sponsored this event here today, and talk about this issue. It is not a dead issue. It may be a long forgotten issue in this country, but there are millions of people in Vietnam to this day who suffer from their exposure to Agent Orange. There are the people who are exposed, and then they call them the F1 and the F2 and the F3 generations, the succeeding generations of people who, because of their ancestors' exposure to Agent Orange, carry the poison in their body and continue to show defects when they give birth to children or have miscarriages or continue to have serious medical problems. There's one inescapable ironic fact that we have to understand here. In 1984, these companies settled a lawsuit brought by U.S. veterans. Now, there was a lot of criticism at the time, and perhaps rightly so, that it wasn't enough. But in any event, that case settled for, at that time, $180 million. By the time they paid money out from the fund, it had grown to $300 million. In addition to that, as a result of the decision, as a result of the settlement, as a result of the efforts of people like Admiral Zumwalt, whose son died of Agent Orange exposure, and a political campaign, the Veterans Administration changed their approach to how they dealt with veterans who were exposed to Agent Orange, and they agreed to compensate veterans. They now compensate them for, I think, 11 Agent Orange-related illnesses. And it's a very, it's complete compensation if you're able to show that you were in Vietnam in an area that was where Agent Orange was used or stored, which is almost all of Vietnam, certainly all of South Vietnam, and that you have one of the 11 types of illnesses. So in addition to this hundreds of millions of dollars through the settlement, this country has now paid billions of dollars to U.S. veterans who were exposed to Agent Orange. And rightly so, and they should, because it's a poison. But the ironic fact is that those who were the unintended, accidental victims of this campaign of chemical warfare have been compensated now, and the same government, the same chemical companies, seek to prevent those who were the intended victims over 10 years of exposure to these poisons from getting any money, from getting any compensation, and from any kind of remedial cleanup, any kind of effort to clean up the environment. That's wrong. We think that's wrong. That violates any basic standard of fairness and equality. And that's why we should work very hard to make sure that this issue does not go away, that we finally someday can put this war to rest and say that we've given justice to the victims of this war. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Before we